Hey everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Following Para Lumen, quote unquote, not your ordinary podcast, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Dehuko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get the show on the road. Hey friends, how is everyone? I know that it's been quite a while since my last podcast episode, but we are back and better than ever. So I'm currently in New York and just enjoying the first few days of fall. I hope you're having a terrific time wherever you guys may be. Also, I'd like to officially welcome you all to Following Para Lumen's second season. I'm so excited. I haven't really podcasted in a long time, and I'm just so glad to be able to get back on track, get back to the daily grind, and this is going to be so fun. So this season, we'll be talking about a variety of topics from travel, food, lifestyle, and whatnot. So without further ado, I would like to welcome you all to our very first episode. Yay! So for our first episode, we'll be talking about life inside and eventually leaving the motherland, the Philippines. So not many people know, but I actually grew up in the Philippines. And for this episode, I'd like you all to welcome a really good friend of mine. And we actually went to university together, Eugene Velasco. Hi, Eugene.
Hello. Hello.
How are you?
How are you? I'm really good. Thank you for agreeing to do this interview with me.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. You're my friend.
Yes. BSU you represent.
I think we've been friends since 2012, right?
Yes, 2012. That was actually the year that I went to college.
Even though we're studying different courses.
Yeah.
We have a lot of common friends.
And we were in the same college. I mean, we were in different courses, but we were in the same college. You were studying journalism and I was studying Malikhaing Pagsulat, which is creative writing in Filipino.
Tagalog.
You know, I actually visited BSU, which is our university, Bulacan State University. I actually visited BSU the last time I was home in the Philippines, and I saw our old professors, and they were like, wow, your Tagalog has an accent.
Your Tagalog has an accent?
It was so bad.
Do I have a strong Bulaqueño accent?
I don't know, because I think when we were living there, we had like a really strong Bulaqueño accent. Like in Bulacan, we call it a punto. I used to always have that. Like I remember there's this one time that... Do you know Jairus?
Yeah, I remember him.
You remember Jairus? You know Wentz, of course. And do you know Christian Faustino? We're just like name dropping here. He was like the big guy.
Christian. Yeah,
Inchan. We call him Inchan.
He was
so funny.
Religious Catholic.
Yep, religious Catholic. Yeah. So there was this one time.
He keeps on posting pictures of the Virgin Mary. I was like,
ooh. Oh, and if y'all don't know, the Philippines is actually like a very, very religious and Catholic country because we were colonized by Spain. So anyway, we were in what's that thing called? Like the small jeepneys? Shit, I forgot.
Karatig.
Oh yeah, the karatig. So we were going to Bagna, which is in Malolo City. And I asked I asked Christian, sa Bagna na bare? And Jairus was like, what are you saying? And I was like, Bagna na bare?
I was asking if this was already the town of Bagna. And he was like, what? And I was like, exactly, because he's from Santa Maria, and I'm from Bulacan. So, and the two, Wentz and Christian, are from Malolo, so we kind of understood each other, and Jairus was like, what? Oh, good memories.
I'm currently living with a roommate. I have a roommate right now.
Yeah.
She's not here anymore. She's at work.
Okay.
But sometimes I and then there sometimes, not really sometimes, but most of the time, I use certain Bulaqueño terms.
Oh, really?
Which I couldn't understand. example, Bilis in English is hurry.
Yeah.
So sometimes I tell her, Bili and mo. She was like, what the fuck is Bili?
Wait, is she Filipino?
She's Filipino. she's a graduate of La Salle.
Oh, La Salle.
La Salle.
Yeah, so for all you who don't know, La Salle is actually like one of the more expensive universities, because Eugene and I went to a state university, so
yeah, it's like one of those universities that has a lot of elite students.
Exactly, like there are a lot of actors in that school. And I think it's more like, I think La Salle, Maine is more like academic, and St. Benilde is more art.
For the arts.
Yeah, so yeah. That's it.
Let's get out of this interview, man.
It's just good to reminisce, but yeah. So, what time is it over there?
Oh, it's 10:26 in the morning.
Actually, wait, where are you? I think our listeners would like to know where you are.
So I'm currently here in the land of dairy. I'm in Auckland, New Zealand.
Yes.
It's known for having a lot of cows.
Cows, like, yeah.
Cows than people.
Actually, I met. Oh my gosh. Because I met a few Australians, and I'm not saying that this is something that is known, but should I say it? It's kind of mean, but some people said that New Zealanders are sheep fuckers.
Sheep what?
Sheep, like kambing. Sheep fuckers, because there are more sheep than human.
I'm not sure about that.
Don't hate me, Kiwis.
All I know is that we have more cows over here.
Than, yeah.
You know, than the numbers of people.
Yeah. I think I know of New Zealand because of The Hobbit.
of the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth, The Hobbit, Hobbiton.
I've heard about New Zealand because of Angkor.
Oh, the butter?
No, the milk. if I imagine New Zealand, all I see in my head is like the commercial of Angkor.
Angkor, yeah. It's like vast greeneries.
The greenery.
Is it really like that, like, or is it just like a stereotype? Because like I've never been to New Zealand. I mean, I'd really love to go, but I've not been yet.
Well, yeah, in a way, it's like that, you know.
Yeah.
We have a lot. I think here in New Zealand, here in Auckland specifically, we still have a lot of green meadows.
And yeah.
A lot of trees and a lot of forests.
That's good.
Because Kiwis are really into nature. Like, they have laws here to protect nature that you cannot just... For example, you cannot just cut all of the trees here. There are specific trees.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice. Yeah. I feel like the air in New Zealand is, like, one of the freshest airs that I will ever breathe, ever.
maybe not here in Auckland. Maybe.
Oh yeah, because it's a city, right?
Yeah, because Auckland is just too crowded.
Just another big city.
We still have a lot of trees here, still have a lot of flowers and
sheep
and stuff, but Auckland is like one of the most crowded places here. If you really want to have like a genuine experience of like the Angkor type New Zealand.
Angkor type New Zealand, like
the New Zealand that you see on Angkor commercials.
Yeah.
Then you should go outside of Auckland. Maybe
like Christchurch
or Queenstown, or Queenstown or Christchurch or somewhere outside Auckland. But the thing with New Zealand, if you want to have like a lot of opportunities, if you want to have job opportunities, you should try going to Auckland.
Yeah.
But if you want to have like affordable cost of living, then Auckland is not the ideal place.
Yeah.
Everything here is just too expensive.
It's going to be so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like the downside of living in a city, like especially in like a big city. Because, like, I'm in New York right now, and everything is just so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I try not to go out because I'm trying to save money for my Latin American trip. So, but, like, it's just inevitable. Like, a cup of coffee is, like, $5. And if I convert that to Mexican peso, that would last me, like, maybe 3 days. So, I try not to spend a lot of money. It's just, like, the cost of living is so high. So, I was just gonna ask, do you actually like living in Auckland?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm gonna compare my life here with the way I was living in Manila, of course.
Oh, gosh.
Living in Auckland is way, 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 like, way better
than better,
living
yeah.
in Manila. Living in Manila, like, when I got here, like, I just felt that kind of peace of mind.
It's just so different, isn't it?
Yeah. And the kind of balance, the kind of peace that I was looking for when I was still in Manila.
Yeah.
However, if I'm gonna get into the technicalities or other aspects of living here in Auckland, for example, the cost of living.
Yeah.
And the amount of things that you can do in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are times that Auckland can be very boring.
Yeah.
Because they have a culture here where all the shops, like most of the shops here in Auckland, close down at around 6 p.m.
Wow, that's so early.
Yep, it's so early. Yeah, and even the mall here, we have like the nearest mall here. Like the farmers, they close down at around 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was hard.
Yeah.
At first I'm not used to it because, you know, in Manila,
everything closes at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, everything, basically everything closes down at around 10 or maybe 11.
Yeah.
But here they close everything at around 5 p.m.
That's crazy early.
That's crazy. Especially if it's Christmas season.
Holidays.
Yeah, Auckland becomes like Auckland's like a ghost town.
Oh my gosh.
Because everyone is just trying to get out of Auckland and camp out.
Yeah. Well, I think there's enough space for Kiwis to camp out anywhere in the country if they wanted to.
That's why when I was still studying here, the administration reminded us that if we're planning to camp out, like if we're planning to go out of Auckland, we should tell them.
Uh-huh.
We should inform them because there are some cases where international students get lost.
Oh gosh.
International students get stranded in the mountains, in the forests. That's why because New Zealand,
it's so big.
You know, mass wise, the mass of New Zealand, the land area is so big, but the number of people is just too few.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like
there are some.
It's kind of like Canada.
kind of like Canada, but I think Canada, even Canada has more people than New Zealand. But with Canada, they, of course they have a larger land area.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, like, Canada is so much bigger than the state of California, yet the state of California has more people than the entire country of Canada.
Let me guess. In California, there are more Filipinos than Americans.
Oh my gosh, yeah, more Filipinos. And actually, a lot of Koreans. My friend went to LA, and he was like, there is a shit ton of Koreans in California right now. And I was like, wow. There's, like, literally K-Town.
Even here in Auckland, there are a lot of Koreans. Like, we have, like, a Korean town here.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can, like, if you're craving for
Korean food.
If you're craving for Korean food.
Oh, that's so good. I love Korean food. Like, the K-Town... The K-Town in New York is just a few blocks away from the Empire State Building, so...
Because I think, like, literally, everyone in Korea is also going out of the country. Like, they're trying to escape the country.
Exactly.
Because most of the Koreans I meet here, they always say, Korea is like this hell. They describe Korea as hell.
Uh-huh.
they just don't want to live there anymore.
Yeah.
For them, it's just too toxic. Well, according to my Korean friends.
Disclaimer. But I think it's in every country because there's a shift in generation.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the young people, like the millennials, are so tired and fed up of how boomers are running the country. So they just want to, like, find a new place to live their lives, I think. I don't know. I'm just speaking for myself.
What's your question? Do I love living here?
Yeah, we got too distracted.
One thing, I love living here in Auckland because of the diversity.
Like, yeah. I think it's one of the pretty diverse country cities in the world.
It's pretty diverse because there's a lot of multicultural activities going on here.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ethnicities here.
Yeah.
Like, for example, a large group of Indians, a large group of Chinese, Koreans, mm-hmm. Japanese.
Are there a lot of Filipinos?
There's a lot of Filipinos, especially in hospitals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. A lot of nurses.
Comparing it with other ethnicities,
mm-hmm.
only a few, the Filipino community here is just too small.
Uh-huh.
I think we're just around less than 50,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That is small, yeah.
50,000, yeah. That's just too small.
It's not too big.
And also a large group of South Africans.
Oh.
A lot of Latinas.
Uh-huh.
And it's really diverse. Like, if you're craving for Indian food,
uh-huh.
you can just buy it anywhere. If you're craving for Thai food, you can just... And what I've observed here, Kiwis, uh-huh. Pampehas and Maoris, they're also quite welcoming.
Uh-huh.
They are really trying to give us spaces here, to give us enough space to explore their culture at the same time, make them feel and make them experience the culture.
Uh-huh. That is so good to hear.
Yep.
That's nice.
So
tell me a little bit about your life in the Philippines. Also, disclaimer, we actually love the Philippines. We're not trying to, like, hate on it. Because, like, I mean, we're Filipino, so... We're not trying to hate on the country. We're just trying to speak our minds and, you know how it is. So, yeah. Tell me a little bit about your life in the Philippines.
My life in the Philippines. So I studied... Well, I stayed in the Philippines until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a year after my graduation.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, we graduated in 2016.
Yeah, we graduated in 2016. Mm-hmm. I took a bachelor's degree in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then three months after I graduate, I worked as a writer.
Oh, you worked at that Chinese company.
Yeah. I worked as a writer for a non-governmental organization.
Mm-hmm.
A non-profit organization. I worked as a writer for Tzu Chi Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this international Buddhist organization,
mm-hmm,
that helps out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we conduct a lot of outreach programs to marginalized communities in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So we do environmental outreach programs, educational outreach programs, spiritual
mm-hmm
outreach programs, and medical.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I did for them, every outreach program, I documented everything.
Mm-hmm.
Written, video, photographic, everything. And then
yeah,
all of my news stories were being sent out to Taiwan.
Okay.
And then they translated to Chinese. And mm-hmm. So that's what I was doing in the Philippines. And I worked like hell. Like, I was working 6 days a week.
That's too much.
10 hours a day.
Yeah. That's a lot of hours.
And I was working in Quezon City. So imagine like...
Were you not in an apartment?
The hassle, the traffic.
Oh my gosh. Oh, don't even get me started about the traffic.
We rented a condominium space, like a condominium unit there. Mm-hmm. Somewhere near UP, because that time my youngest sister, she was studying in UP. So mm-hmm we were living together.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, the you know how toxic Quezon City is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I had to go past that every single day to go to work when I was working in the Philippines.
It's really toxic, especially if you don't have your own car.
Yeah.
So you have to bear the traffic.
The heat.
The heat.
Oh, especially when it's raining, it's worse.
Especially in MRT.
Oh my gosh. The MRT or metro is like an everyday dry hump session. It's like there's literally people humping you in every direction. It's that close.
When I was still there, I just feel deflated. Like every single day. Like mm-hmm at the end of the day, I just feel deflated. You know, I go to work 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go home at around 10 p.m. because of the traffic.
Oh my gosh, that is
the thing.
That is
like
crazy.
After work, I just have to sleep. I need to sleep because I have. To
like, how long was your commute every single day?
Well, ideally from our condominium unit to my work.
Yeah.
Ideally, I should be. Well, wait, let me just count. But ideally, if there's no traffic, I can go to my work. I can arrive within 30 minutes.
Oh my, okay, you know? It's not bad. But with Manila traffic.
It's just on special occasion, especially if Manny Pacquiao has a fight.
Oh my gosh.
If Manny Pacquiao has a fight, I can get to my work in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about like Monday to Saturday uh-huh kind of commute, well, it takes me around 1 to 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Of traveling. And take note, I'm just in the same city. You know, in Quezon City.
Imagine like... That the things you can do in those 2 hours that you're stuck in traffic.
I know. It just burned me out.
Exactly.
It just burned me out.
Like, after graduation, I actually started working at a tech startup in Bonifacio Global City, in Taguig.
BGC.
Yeah, in BGC. Mm. And I didn't get any apartment. I was working at BGC, and I was living at home in Bulacan, and ideally it would take me about 40 minutes to an hour, but it takes me 3 to 4 hours. That's one way. Mm. And like,
oh God.
3 to 4 hours times two is like a quarter, if
Eight
not.
Hours of your-
yeah, of my day. And like, oh my gosh, it was so tiring. Like, I was thinking about the things that I could do in those 4 hours that I could be hanging out with my friends or like getting more sleep. But like,
exactly.
It was
exactly.
just so tiring. Exactly.
You could go to the gym. You know, you could go to the gym and
exactly.
do some exercises or maybe
do more beneficial things.
Go meet a Tinder
date. Exactly.
Meet a Tinder date.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Like the work.
I have this friend.
Uh huh.
Mm.
Go for it.
Go.
Oh, I was just saying that the work culture in the Philippines is so hectic and it's just so draining.
I have this friend. She's currently working in Makati.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's currently working in Makati. And she cannot just, you know, commute every day from Bulacan to Makati.
Yeah.
So she's currently renting out a condominium.
Uh-huh.
However, it's a sharing unit.
Yeah.
So within that unit, there are around 10 people.
Uh-huh.
Including her, so there's 10 people. There are 10 people living in that unit. And they only have one bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
And they don't have privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like in one room there are 5 or 4 of them sleeping.
Oh my gosh.
In one room.
That is
and
terrible.
And she can't call me. Yeah, she can call her family, she can call her friends. Because there's just no privacy.
Exactly. Can't even do your personal business in there, you know?
And that's the price that she has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
For living in Makati, because if she's gonna commute every day from Bulacan to Makati, I mean, that's just impossible.
Exactly.
So
like Bulacan, our town, to Manila is about 40 kilometers because it's 40 kilometers north, which should take us like no less than an hour, but it takes us 3 to 4 hours,
yep.
And it's crazy.
Yep.
Like,
and we're even using NLEX, no?
Yeah.
We're even using NLEX.
Like the expressway.
That's supposed to be convenient.
Exactly.
NLEX is supposed
and there
to
are
be
trains
convenient.
that are supposed to make our lives easier, but instead, they're not. I saw one news before that there's a lady who got her arm chopped off because the train was so crowded.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I feel like I'm making this shit up, but, like, I'm not. I saw it on the news. Because I try to stay connected as much as I can by, like, following all, like, the news outlets in the Philippines. So I'm still up to date about the country. So that's where I saw it. So... what triggered your longing to leave the country?
Just the overall culture of being burnt out to death.
Being burnt out, yeah.
Because of working too much.
And the thing is,
too much. Like,
we work too much, but we don't get paid enough.
Exactly. Don't get me wrong. Like, what I was doing in the Philippines, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my work, you know, I love
yeah,
love
we're not ungrateful or anything, you know, it's just...
Yep, I love the company, you know, I love the organization that I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
I love their hearts, I love the hearts of those who are volunteering their time in that organization.
Yeah.
And, like, a big part of me, they change a big part of me, you know, like,
yeah.
They change a big part of my personality and attitude towards everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, QC has this, QC will just suck out everything in your life, like, it will just suck the life out of you, and
yeah.
you'll come to a point where you just feel trapped, you know, I came to a
exactly,
point where I just felt trapped, that I wasn't going anywhere, like, I was working 6 days, and I felt
and
like
your work hours
myself.
Are hella
just,
long. They're not like 3 hours, 5 hours. It's like 10 hours.
Because during the time I was required, you know, I was required to go with the social workers. For example, if there's a calamity, if there's a flood, if there's a fire in Quezon City, we have to respond to it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though I'm not a social worker, I'm required to be there to document their activities.
Yeah.
So, and you know how dangerous.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
You know how it is in Quezon City. There's a lot of fires going on. There's a lot of calamities.
Yes, because the houses are too crowded, like too stuck with each other.
So that was my life in the Philippines, and what triggered is like just that desire, just that desire to look for a better life.
Just have a better life in general, which is so sad because we can't find it. We don't think that we're gonna have it in our home country. So it triggers us to want to leave and find it in another land, you know?
Exactly. And
it's just sad.
Remember when we were talking before, like, in our case, financially, we don't really have to leave.
Oh, exactly.
We're in that condition. We're in that financial class we're in. We don't really have to leave the country because, you know, we are able.
Yeah.
You know, we have degrees. We have this. We have this beautiful, amazing credentials under our belt.
Exactly.
And we have experiences with a lot of industries, and we have connections and things. However, the life in the Philippines, especially now under Duterte.
Oh my gosh! Don't even get me started about that, man.
I cannot imagine living in the Philippines anymore. Like, I cannot imagine myself getting at peace. You know, getting the balance that I need. And being happy in general. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm happy because I have my family there, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, in the family, it's also toxic. It can be toxic.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
A lot of
there are just like some traits that Filipinos have that they don't know is just plain wrong. Like, whenever I would call my family, my aunts, like. Anywhere in the world, I may be like hiking a mountain in Africa or be in Paris, and the first thing that they see is my face. And they're like, what the fuck happened to you? Why are you so fat? Or why are you so dark? Like, you're so ugly. What's happening?
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, are you being for real right now? Like, there's a huge mountain behind me. There's the Eiffel Tower behind me. And that is all you say? Like, Filipinos are so physical.
They won't even bother to ask about your story.
Exactly.
About your experiences. They won't even bother to ask, oh, what have you been? What have you been up to? In for example, if you've been to Morocco. They won't even bother to ask, what kind of people have you met there? What kind of experiences have you experienced there? They didn't even ask about your status, like the status that you posted on Facebook. Like, I've read a lot of them, and it seems that you had a lot of beautiful.
Thank you for reading them, Eugene. It means a lot.
And they could have asked questions about that, like, oh, I saw your status, and you felt spiritually relieved. You were spiritually.
You know what's calm. Like the like, saddest thing? I was in Morocco. Last year, there was a case where two Scandinavian girls were murdered, you know, in the mountains of Morocco. And nobody in my family even asked me about it. Nobody asked me if I was okay. Like, the ones who asked were friends and fellow travelers and, like, family members of the people that I was with. And, like, is this for real right now? I mean, like, I know that I'm independent and I'm capable of doing things on my own, but sometimes you just crave, like, to be asked how you are, you know? And especially if there's been a murder in the country that you are in. So, I don't know. I don't know if I'm being, like...
Thank God.
kind of a bitch about it, but nobody literally asked me if I was okay. Or if I was close to where the murders happened, but whatever. Whatever. I guess not. But yeah, it happens.
But they'll get all concerned about your weight. All of them get all concerned about your appearance.
Exactly.
Your weight.
Exactly.
When will you get married?
Oh gosh. Like my mother, because when I was dating my ex-boyfriend, she kept on asking me when I'm gonna have a baby and if I was gonna give her a grandchild. I said no, because I don't want it. And so she kept on asking me that she wanted a grandchild. Lo and behold, a year later, my brother gives her a grandchild. So she got her grandchild, just not from me. So I told her, be careful what you wish for, you know? So, it's just so wrong. And, I don't know. It's just, also for me, because I'm the first born granddaughter. There's this thing, I don't know if it's just like the older people, but if you're the first born granddaughter, you're supposed to live with your grandparents. So, I was raised by my grandma, and now my grandpa is dead, and so my grandma wants me to take care of her. Like, last night, she literally called me saying, when are you gonna come home? Just leave the country after I die. She's 77 or 78. She's got a long... She, in a way, she has, like, a few more years ahead of her, but also, in a sense... She's, like, at the sunset of her life. And, like, my life is just beginning. I want to do things. I'm young. I want to explore and meet people. I don't want to sit around at home and just be stuck. I know it sounds so selfish, but I just don't want to do that.
No, that's totally valid. It's totally valid. I mean, you're totally right. Like, there's a lot of years ahead of us.
Exactly. This is like the peak of my life. I want to go out there. And yesterday...
But there's this culture in the Philippines. I mean, there's this culture in the Philippines, especially with parents, that they put a lot of pressure on their kids' shoulders. Like, oh, you have to study hard so that you can...
Get a job. Like,
job.
Get a husband.
And then you can take care of us when we get old. Like,
exactly. Like...
I mean, that's...
It just made me so mad.
Taking care of our parents is not actually bad.
However, oh, yeah, of course it's not.
It should not be mandatory. It should not be mandatory.
Yeah.
Like, it should be out of our choice, you know?
Exactly.
It should be voluntary. And they have to understand. I'm speaking to parents, Filipino parents.
Yeah, Filipino parents.
You guys have to understand. You guys have to understand that your kids, that your children are not your own. Like, they are not your possession.
You don't own us. I mean, thank you for giving us life, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I have a life.
I mean, we have minds of our own. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Like, yesterday, after my Lola called me... So we call our grandparent Grandma Lola and Lolo for grandpas. So my Lola called me yesterday telling me to just leave the country when she dies. And it got me so frustrated because I just don't want to go back. And I am at the peak. I'm 23. I'm at the peak of my life. I'm doing really well. And I just don't want to sit around and wait for an old person to die, you know? I don't know. I feel like it sounds really selfish, but in a way, I feel like my emotions and my reactions are totally valid. Like, last night, I was crying about it because I was praying to God about it because I don't know what to do. And I actually haven't told my grandma yet that I'm going to Mexico soon. So... This is going to be such a revelation when I tell her in the end. Did you have, like, a hard time telling your parents that you wanted to go out?
I don't know.
did you have like a hard time telling your parents that you wanted to go out of the country?
Oh gosh.
And what was their reaction?
Well, ever since when I was still in the university, mm-hmm. I think they have this dream for me that they want me to go out of the Philippines and have a better job, have a good job outside of the Philippines so that I can send money to them.
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's also like a financial burden.
I think that time. Yeah, the financial burden. But I think that time, mm-hmm. when I was still in uni, maybe we didn't have the same dream. Like,
yeah.
During that time, I was dreaming of entering the entertainment industry. Like, I was dreaming to have,
yes, like, a writing, ready for mature roles, Snapple.
Yeah, I remember talking to some of our common friends, and mm-hmm. I was telling them, oh, I want to write films, I want to write scripts, I want mm-hmm. to be in the film industry, I want to meet this director, I want to have this kind of experience and stuff.
Yeah.
In short, I want to live my life for the arts, I want to have
exactly, yes.
Of course, in the Philippines, if you tell your parents that you want to have a career in the arts,
oh my gosh,
they will say, oh, ang gagawin mo dyan, may pera ba dyan?
Exactly.
It means what are you going to do there? Is there money there? I mean, can it provide mm-hmm. the things that you need? Can it pay the bills?
Exactly.
I think I've never tried bringing it up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never tried telling them that I want to be in the art industry, like, I want to be in the film industry.
Yeah.
And then, when I proposed to them the idea of me going out, of me going to New Zealand.
Yeah.
The first question that they've asked me is, how much?
How much what?
How much? Because during that time, I didn't really have any option
mm-hmm.
other than getting a student visa.
Yeah.
Because I just barely graduated. No, I just graduated from the university. I just graduated from our university, and I barely have like any experiences at all.
Mm-hmm.
In different skills and stuff. I just have like 5 months worth of experience mm-hmm. working as a writer.
Yeah.
And if I want to go out, at least I have to have like a test, the certification,
mm-hmm.
like some sort of skills and stuff. And it's easier to go out of the country if you're a nursing graduate maybe an IT graduate, uh-huh. an engineering graduate. Me having a journalism degree,
we have an arts degree.
having a journalism degree with writing experiences in my credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was pretty clear. It was pretty obvious that I don't really have much.
Yeah.
I don't really have much of experiences.
Where did you do your internship?
Sorry?
Where did you do your internship?
I work with Thomson Reuters.
Cool.
I work with an international company. However, uh-huh. it's just a desk job. It's just an administration uh-huh. job, but not really like the kind of job, like the tradie job.
Uh-huh.
So my only option back then was to get a student visa and to study again,
uh-huh.
but a different field. So I studied digital marketing here.
You did? I didn't know that. I thought you were doing like masters or something.
No, just it's just a certificate diploma. It's a,
still, it got you there, degree. And that's good.
It's a diploma degree, however. Mm-hmm. And I tried loving it. I tried to love it.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot. I've learned the skill.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned what to do and how to do it, and mm-hmm. to execute it, but I just never got to the point where I just never got to love it. You know, I just...
Yeah, if you're not really doing what you want...
It didn't grow onto me. You know, it didn't grow onto me. Like, uh-huh. I just know how to do some stuff. You know, I just know how to do it, but I've never loved it.
Yeah.
You know, after I graduate, I work in this company, mm-hmm. in this digital marketing company. It's not an agency, it's a company. It's a well-established company here mm-hmm. in New Zealand. So it's catering to a lot of tourism kind of businesses.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of businesses that caters to the tourism industry.
Mm-hmm.
So back then I was working with a lot of clients. I was working with 35 clients a day.
Oh my god.
I was doing a lot for them. Like, I was doing SEO, SEM, social mm-hmm. media marketing, email marketing for them. But I just got to a point where, you know, it's not for me, you know.
Yeah,
the corporate job is not for me. I just didn't love it.
Oh, girl, and I know.
I think it was pretty clear to my superiors. It was pretty clear to my manager that I didn't love my job.
Mm-hmm.
So they let me go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it was pretty tough, you know. It was pretty tough because once you get out of the country, no matter how many or no matter how... proud you are of your experiences. Once mm-hmm. you get out of the country, you have to start from scratch.
It's nothing.
You have to swallow your pride and just try everything, and you don't get to be choosy. You know, you don't get to what you need to do, because at the end of the day, you have to pay the bills.
Exactly.
But the difference between doing this kind of life, doing this kind of life in the Philippines is that,
I think you get to do what you love, but you just can't pay the bills.
In the Philippines, you do everything, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. But here, although you also get tired, you know, you also do a lot of random jobs, a lot of random work, but.
Yeah, like a lot of odd jobs.
But you also get to have that time. You also get to have the opportunity to just relax and to just enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Unwind every here and there.
For example, last Monday was also my day off.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Philippines, if it's my day off, I only get one day off per week
mm-hmm.
in the Philippines. So after working my ass off for 6 days, all I do in my day off is just sleep, you know, mm-hmm. it's just sleep
to catch up, yeah.
But here, if it's my day off, I get to go out and just go to the beach and mm-hmm. just, you know, enjoy the sea. Or if I don't go to the beach, I go to the art gallery and enjoy looking at, art.
Yeah, that is so nice.
And I love going to the library as well, so I just go to the library, you know. And whenever I do that, it keeps on reminding me that this is the kind of life that I was dreaming when I was still in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So,
and you have found it, and I'm so happy for you.
And for me, living as an OFW,
mm-hmm.
living as an OFW.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was, you know, I felt degraded. At first, I felt degraded because I was doing a totally different kind of work
mm-hmm.
compared with what I studied in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I studied journalism, and then when I got here, my first job was, I was working as a housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my first job. I was a housekeeper. I was a housekeeper for 5 months uh-huh. in a motel here.
I think you told me about that.
Me being proud, me having this kind of stupid pride, of course, I felt degraded.
Mm-hmm.
Because back then I was thinking, oh, I studied journalism, but here I am, you know, cleaning toilets.
Exactly.
But that's the reality, you know, that's the kind of life that most OFWs are, you know, experiencing.
They are faced to it every single day. Yeah.
And to be honest, like, you know, I'm just in that kind of stage mm-hmm. in my life right now. Like, all I want right now is to stop proving myself to other people and just, you know, being contented and being happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think so far
I'm getting to that dream, you know, I'm mm-hmm. getting to that point.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, there's this one time at my work, because right now I'm working as a hostess at a diner here in New York. And I actually moved to New York to be a playwright because, you know, Broadway is here. And so for you who don't know, I actually studied creative writing major in playwriting because I did my thesis on playwriting. And I really wanted to move to New York, which I did, and eventually work for Broadway. But I know that it's not going to be easy. I just didn't know that it was going to be so hard. Like, I started taking odd jobs like babysitting, dog walking, eventually waitressing and hostessing. And, like, I see all these... You know how degrading it is? Like, when all these snobby teenagers, snobby rich kids, like, look at you like you're just nothing. Like, and it came to a point where this Filipino woman, she's actually Filipino because I know she told me, she was like
New York.
In New York, yes. And she told me with her husband in hand, she was like, why don't you get at least an associate's degree, like, so you can get a better job? In my head, I'm like, I have a bachelor's. I went to Harvard for summer school, yet here I am. Do you think it's easy? Like, I mean, I didn't tell her that, but why would people just say that? And
That's one of the toxic characteristics within Filipino communities in other countries, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially the titas and titos that are already permanent resident or citizens.
Exactly.
When they get to that point, when they have that kind of visa or they have that kind of status.
Yeah.
I don't know with them, but they start to, like, make you feel or make other Filipinos feel like they are superior.
Exactly. Like, they degrade us, which is wrong.
They degrade newcomers, they degrade student visa holders, they degrade those who are working with odd jobs, as you call it, like the blue-collar kind of jobs.
Yeah.
And I just want...
For Can't example, really like, escape we, it, I guess.
For example, one time we had this client. She's a Filipina married to a Kiwi, and she's a doctor here. She's a general practitioner doctor here.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were working with them, I have a partner at work, and before she came here, she was practicing physical therapy. You know, in the Philippines and in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And right now she's working as a spa therapist.
Okay.
She's working as a spa therapist. And that Filipino client, she was telling to my partner, oh, why don't you just study physical therapy here?
Oh, gosh.
Just have a proper physical therapy job.
Exactly.
And at my mind, I was like, can you just sleep?
Yeah.
Can you just let us work?
Exactly.
I mean, there are more fields.
It's easy for them.
It's easy for them to suggest that because they have the means, you know, they have the resources, you know, they have the money to pay for degrees. They have the money to whatever. But they don't feel or they don't understand. They don't experience the life of those
who are not capable enough
to enroll themselves to international university. universities here exactly. have a proper degree. Because you know what, in the no matter how much we study in the Philippines, once we get to a country, once we get to a white country, all of the things that we study, all of the things that we earn in the Philippines are nothing to them.
It's not enough. You know,
I can tell you that because I studied here, and you know it's degrading because I have a bachelor's degree. However, it doesn't get recognized whenever I go to a job here because. Uh-huh. Although it's a bachelor's degree, it's not up to their standards, mm-hmm. so it's not.
And I think it's because we didn't do the K-12, too.
Yeah, that's one thing.
You know, speaking of, like, not having the means, because I think it was 2 years ago after we graduated from university, I wanted to do another degree because I can't do a master's internationally because our degree is not credited. So, I got accepted to this university in Canada, partly because I applied, because my ex-boyfriend lived there, and I just really wanted to go. So, I applied and got in, miraculously, and the thing was, I didn't have enough money to pay for it, plus the visa fees, plus paying lawyers to fix your visa, and then the insurance, and all that stuff. And then I know that I'm gonna do well in school because I actually really like studying. Meanwhile, my ex-boyfriend at that time wasn't even attending his classes, and like, it's just so unfair. I mean,
oh my gosh.
I don't know, it's just really unfair, especially that the Philippines don't really give us student loans, you know, to study abroad.
Yep. Yeah.
So it makes it all the more harder. That's very redundant,
We don't have that kind of system. You know?
We don't have that luxury.
Kind of system that we can loan for our studies and then just pay it back later.
Exactly.
If you want to, in the Philippines, education is still a privilege.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to have a decent kind of education, you have to pay for it in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And like loans are not a thing. However, it's also a good thing because
we don't have debts.
In New Zealand, and especially there in America, there's a lot of people who get into a huge debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of student loans and stuff. But still, it's no better. You know, it's no better than in the Philippines.
Exactly.
In the Philippines, it's no better than in America, though.
Yeah. So, I just get so sad whenever people are like privileged and not realizing it. So, yeah. Oh, do you think that you'll ever go back to the Philippines?
You know.
Just talked about this before we recorded this conversation.
You know, as a scholar of Bayan, what? You know, as a state
a state
university
graduate. Yeah.
As a state university graduate, I think it has been inculcated to me to always serve the people. You know,
People.
That's why when I graduated, you know, that's why when I was doing a lot of job interviews in the Philippines, mm-hmm. I particularly chose to work with an NGO, mm-hmm. to work in an NGO, because I love serving, you know, I love serving the people. I love rendering my services, I love rendering my skills and my abilities to the benefit of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And up until now, I still dream of going back and helping, you know, going back and serving the people.
For good?
I cannot tell for now. I can't tell if I want to go back permanently, mm-hmm. or maybe go back just, you know, for a 3-month
visit,
vacation, or 3-month holiday.
Yeah.
And here in New Zealand, I still get to serve the people.
You're volunteering.
I still get to serve the community because of Migrante.
Yeah.
So it's no different.
That's really nice.
But do I think I'll ever go back to the Philippines? Of course, definitely. Of course, definitely. But if you're gonna ask me for how long, mm-hmm. if I'm gonna stay there permanently or I'll go somewhere else after that, for now I cannot tell because
it's too early to tell, I guess.
It's too early. It's really too early, you know? It's really yeah. too early. And it's too early to say. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm 26, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can't help but feel like I'm not doing enough in my life.
Oh, I feel you. I feel you, really. I'm not doing especially enough in my if, life. Like, our parents are telling us that we're not doing anything. So
and here in New Zealand, like I've expressed this to my family. I've told them several times that I want to study again,
mm-hmm.
but not just a certificate program, like a proper
degree.
Yeah, postgrad degree.
Mm-hmm.
I told them I want to study social work or gender studies.
Yes.
Or something that has to do with social science.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them my one of my options is UP.
Yeah.
You know, and they keep on telling me, why go back to the Philippines if you're already there? Mm-hmm. Then just save up money and then just go to university there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just like what I've told you before, just like what I've said before,
mm-hmm.
we're the type of people that has the monetary support. You know, we have that yeah. monetary resources. We're not that rich. We're not that rich. However, uh-huh. we still have means. You know, we still exactly. have means. And
definitely.
If I still want to study, then I have options here in New Zealand. I also have options in the Philippines.
So. Of course, we can always, always, always go back.
Yep, we can always, always go back. And well, that's just one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
If I'll ever go back in the Philippines, maybe for good, if I'll ever go back to the Philippines, like, permanently, maybe after Duterte get ousted.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Or maybe if Soji Bill get to be a law, or maybe uh-huh. same-sex marriage get to be a law.
Yeah.
But definitely after Duterte get yeah. ousted.
Yeah, but I just realized that I actually left the Philippines after Duterte got elected, you know?
Because right now it's just getting worse over there, right? Everything yes. is just getting worse. Like,
and what like, gets to me happen. Is there are a lot of fanatics that are being blinded by this figure.
Yeah.
And it's I know. Sad.
Right now we have Judy Taguiwalo here. Mm-hmm. Judy is doing this public speaking tour all around all over New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing a lot of public events in key cities here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember someone asked her, why is it that if the Philippines is getting worse, why is it that the Filipino people are not revolting yeah. already?
Why are we not like and Hong Kong?
Are we not revolting? And she said, because of a lot of reasons. Of course, there's fake news, the culture of intimidation, mm-hmm. the culture of threatening, the culture of intimidation. And, you know, just, you know, all of the historical revisionism, all of the misinformation yeah. and everything.
And you know, if like there's one good trait that Filipinos have, I think it's patience. We're really, really, really patient, I think.
Actually, but we are really, really patient to a point where we can be like stupidly patient.
Exactly.
It's not even a term, like.
I don't know, but it is now.
But, yeah, we try to shoulder everything as much as we can. We try yeah. to bear everything as much as we can to a point where we suffer.
Exactly.
You know, we always suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always think that maybe this will get better, maybe this will all end.
Yeah. Like, there is always that maybe.
we have this toxic mentality of pagtitiis.
Mm-hmm.
Pagtitiis wherein we get to sacrifice everything.
Everything, and yeah.
It's stupid.
It is.
Really, it's really stupid.
It really is.
Yeah.
But we can't really do anything about it except leave, which we already did.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, well. Do you have any tips for fellow Filipinos or even citizens of other countries that are so fed up with their countries and would want to try to start a life in a different part of the world?
Any tips? Well, I think a lot of Filipinos live for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But most Filipinos leave the country not because of their personal reasons, but because of their family.
Oh yeah.
So I think technical wise, if you're gonna leave the country, please consult legitimate agencies.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, I'm speaking as a migrante member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a migrante member, it has exposed me to a lot of anomalies, a lot of trafficking that a lot of agencies are doing with their kababayan. So
really?
As a migrante member, please consult legitimate agencies. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't waste money on people.
But how do people know that they're legitimate? Because like, I feel like it's too obvious, but it cannot be too obvious, if you know what I mean.
When you have to consult POEA,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to consult POEA. There's a lot. I think there's three agencies.
Mm-hmm.
There are three agencies, or I'm not sure, but of course, if you want to have a proper job in the Philippines, in other countries, you have to consult POEA. You know, go over to their website and see and check if your agency or if the kind of job offer that you're offering is legit.
Uh-huh.
Also, go properly and also go or visit the website of the country that you're planning to visit.
Uh-huh.
For example, if you're planning to visit New Zealand, go over to their immigration website.
Mm-hmm.
If you're planning to visit America, then just go to their immigration website.
Mm-hmm.
Do not believe hearsays. You know, it's
yes, never.
Better,
Filipinos
it's
always believe
better.
That. Mm.
Huh?
Filipinos always believe that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But oh well, and don't believe it.
Well, that's technical, so... You know, in a more personal or maybe not so technical aspect of going or leaving the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna leave the Philippines, if you're gonna go out of the Philippines, you have to have a strong heart.
Yes.
To be honest,
homesickness is
a
big problem.
Not just the homesickness, you know, the self-assurance,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you really want to leave,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you really want to leave, that you are really prepared,
mm-hmm. that you can do it.
On your own. Because, you know, if you're still in the Philippines, it's easier to think of going out, you know, it's easier to think
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's easier to feel like you are burned out or
mm-hmm.
you just feel fed up of everything.
Yeah.
But once you get out, once you arrive to a different country,
there's no turning back.
The feeling of isolation,
mm-hmm.
you know, the feeling of isolation will just dawn on you, and you just feel for a moment you'll just feel hopeless and you just
feel so alone.
And there's a certain amount of regret, like did I do the right thing?
Yeah.
Am I doing the right thing? Why did I do this? Why did I leave? Why am I here? All those kind of questions will start to flood.
Yeah, I feel like that's constant because I've constantly feel that way. I don't know if it's just me.
And even though it's obvious that your life here is better, your life on second year is better, you get to experience this, you get to eat good food, you get to experience a lot of
better community
activities, better communities, better culture, especially if you're an LGBT person. You know, it's better to live outside the Philippines. But you still have doubts, you know, you still have questions. And for me, I don't know how to properly react on that. I don't know how to properly cope up with those kind of questions. But what I'm sure of is that you just have to have a strong brain heart.
That's good. So, I think that's it. Thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest. Yay! It means to me.
Thank you, Danica, for asking me. For inviting me to this beautiful, lovely podcast.
Thank you so much. I just feel like it just needed to be said. Like, our story needed to be shared. Because there are a lot of Filipinos out there, and even abroad, who feels the same way. And I think that it just needs to be out here in the world. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And, you know, be well. Be well. And I wish you a happy, you know, I wish you a happy, fun, and safe, especially safe travel.
Thank you.
Future places, their future destinations.
Thank you.
And I hope and I wish and I pray that you get to meet good people, you know, good people.
Yes, I hope that too. Thank you so much.
You go make experience there. You go make your own experiences there, you know. And tell the world that it's safe, you know, it's safe and it's okay to travel.
That's what I want to do. I just want to break stereotypes and just share my story. So thank you for sharing yours today.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you to all our listeners.
Thank you to all our friends and listeners for sticking with us on this whirlwind of adventures. Again, disclaimer, we don't hate the Philippines. We don't hate Filipinos. We love them. We love the country. I actually travel with a Philippine flag wherever I go. It's in my backpack. It's because we love it. We love our, I can't say home, but motherland. And we just want it to be better. You know? And see you all on our next episode. Bye. Bye, Eugene. Thank you.
Bye.